Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Yeah, you can sit down. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right, so we're gonna have an offering here in a moment. So get ready. Here we have special guests today, and I'm gonna talk about them, and then we're gonna have an offering, and then we're gonna invite them up. Amen. Because at the end, I'm hoping there just won't be time. And I find it's hard to write a check when you're flopping on the ground. If you give online, just put in the little note section, guest speaker, the Longs, or you know who, or second offering, whatever you want to put. But Steve and Sandra Long, they pastor Catch the Fire Toronto. Now, what's interesting about this is Catch the Fire Toronto was once Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. Has anybody here gone there to visit? Is anybody here? Okay, Corey. And there. Okay, we have three people in the room.
Four.
Yeah, I counted. That's, well, four, I guess five. It's a revival that happened in Toronto, and it changed the face of Christianity. I can say that with confidence. And there's many streams out today that you don't know came out of that movement. And Toronto may not get the credit, but they're not looking for the credit. They're looking for God to be glorified on the earth.
Yes.
And John Arnott was the pastor of this church when revival hit in 1994. And between 4 and 5 million people went to that church to experience what God was doing there. 4 and 5 million. That's a lot of people. Tell your neighbor, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
Now, what happened was John Arnott got promoted, basically. He's a global ambassador for the movement. He travels the planet, he and his wife. There's amazing people. If you ever find they're near you, you want to go see them. And Steve and Sandra were their assistants, so to speak. They were the senior associate ministers. I might be making that part up, but I'm pretty sure they were the senior associate ministers. And when John Arnott became the global ambassador, they prayed, and through a little bumpy path, the Longs became the senior pastors of Catch the Fire Toronto. Now, what's funny about Catch the Fire Toronto is that church has now become 5 campuses. Is that right? I'm sorry. 7 with 2 new ones. And so where they were the senior pastors of the one church, now they're over a network of churches in Toronto. And so somebody else now is actually pastoring that campus, but now they're over Catch the Fire Toronto. Now, Dan Slade came last year, and he was supposed to come this year. And he just didn't want to follow the leading. And no, okay. He couldn't make it. And as soon as he couldn't make it, we're just so gracious. As soon as he couldn't make it, the Lord told me, invite Steve Long. I was like, Steve Long's not coming to my church. That's not going to happen. It's just not. And so I sent him an email, and he said, this was in, what, January? December?
December.
He said, my 2014 calendar's been booked. Yeah, mine too, of course. I don't know what I'm doing in February, but, you know, 2014's been booked already. But we went back and forth, and so it turns out that his schedule opened up, and they're with us. And this is just, to me, it's kind of like, you know, you're having a neighborhood softball game, and someone's like, hey, is Joe down the street able to make it? And they're like, yeah, I'll invite A-Rod. And you're like, yeah. You call him up, he's like, I might be able to make it. Whoa, all right, that's all right. And so we've had some leaders meeting with them. It's just been an amazing time. And, you know, I don't have a lot of guest speakers come in. It is what it is. I don't invite people I don't know and trust. I just don't. And so you can trust this. So if you would, stand your feet. We're gonna sow into this offering right now. We're going to sow into this ministry. We're going to sow into what God is doing. And Catch the Fire is part of the network that we're a part of, which is kind of a funny way to. They started the network, and we're a part of it. And this is kind of the mothership church. Anything you want to say, honey?
Yes. If you need an offering envelope, please raise your hand. One of the ushers will bring you one. And you just, this entire offering will go to Steve and Sandra Long.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. If you're writing out a check, write it out to Revival Life Church. And what we'll do is that way you can get credit for your giving on your taxes and all that. We'll write one check and give it to them. It'll all go to them, but just make it out to this church.
Right. And if you're giving online, you can use your PayPal app, or you can use the computer in the back and just put a note that it's for the special offering for Steve and Sandra Long.
Anything else? Which prayer are we offering?
Father, I thank you for
go ahead and hold your offering in hand. We're going to
hold your offering in hand. And I just declare blessing over every person as they give, Father. I thank you that as we sow, we're sowing good seed and good ground, Father. I thank you that as we as we give, Father, that you are pouring out blessings. And I declare blessing and increase over the people as they give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come on, and you can give.
You can bring your
offering
up to
the baskets.
Here. There's also a basket in the back. And again, you can use the computer for debit or credit cards.
You're good. You never have to apologize for giving. There's just things that we'll wait for. I stand to your feet if you would. And if you would just join me in honoring and welcoming Steve and Sandra Long. Steve and Sandra Long.
Well, hello, everyone. You can sit down. We're just normal people. Sometimes I'm like, what are they doing that for? But anyways, I understand honor, but I just want to bless you. But I just want to say that really when Stephen and I, it'll be on June 5th, 1994 was our first official Sunday at the time, Toronto Airport Vineyard Christian, I don't even remember the name of it, because now we're Catch the Fire. But our story comes that we came out of two church splits, but we made it from our previous church, and we just had absolutely nobody wanted us on the other side. They didn't. We started believing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we just started believing in a whole bunch of stuff that we'd never heard about before. And so whenever we would go, and we weren't really happy in the church, we would go to another church and we'd fill out the application, and they say, well, do you believe in this? And we go, yes. And they said, well, we can't take you. So we were just like, okay. So the very thing that we were called to do, there was absolutely, there was nowhere for us to go. And interesting enough, the Lord just sort of literally took us when we were down, broken, totally devastated. We were really dead inside, and he took us from that place, and he put us in this place, and he spent 20 years. Hard nuts to crack, kind of, yeah, something like that. But it's taken us literally 20 years, and we're still going. And so I just want to bless you as a church. You're part of a bigger family, and we're still going. And so our Heavenly Father, he's just awesome. He's just restored Stephen and I. I mean, I don't think that we would be in ministry today. I don't know what we would be doing. I don't know. But the good thing is, if it wasn't, we have two sons. They're 28 and 25, both married, and they love their wives. And we have two grandsons from our oldest son, and they're serving the Lord. And that's a gift. And if you're a mother here and a father here, you know that for your kids to grow up and to actually, for all that we've gone through, it's just been incredible. You'll have to go back in the archives one day. Maybe John and Carol will come here and share their testimony with you. But, I remember we would have, it was basically meet the new visitors, and Carol would get up and tell her story about just how her mother had beat her, and and she's married. John is her second husband. Her first husband left her and threatened her and all these things, and she would tell the story, and you have to understand that I would be sitting there going, what? I didn't know that people that, that were that broken could actually minister in the ministry. And so God is about giving us second chances. And so if you ever get an opportunity to hear their testimony, or I think in one of their books, Grace and Forgiveness or Mercy, one of them, they share bits and pieces of their testimony. But it was watching them being broken and being revived, and that gave us the freedom to be restored. So I bless you guys. I bless this church, and that the Lord would just continue to multiply you. You guys are amazing, and I just want to say you do everything with excellence. And so I bless you.
Thank Thank you, Sandra. Hey, friends, it's good to be here. And thank you to Tracy and Carl for looking after us this weekend. We've been really feeling, we feel young being with you guys. Some of you know I turned 57 yesterday. And they sang the happy birthday songs for me. And some folks bought me new shoes, so I'm wearing them again today. I guess I must have looked real old or either real white because I had white shoes that were scuffed, and maybe that's not cool. So those are my racquetball shoes from when I used to play racquetball and squash. So anyways, it's good to be here. And I'd like to talk to you about how amazing your Heavenly Father is today, if that's all right. So if you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 15. I'm one of these people that somehow I can see other people's problems better than my problems. Anyone else like that? You're able to spot other people's issues. And so one of the things that I'm relatively good at is hearing people, when they're talking, say things that just aren't true. We speak lies about how we feel about ourselves and about others. And the story we're going to look at in Luke 15 is about two boys that both of them believe lies. Satan had whispered into their mind, into their spirit somehow. And the lies that each of these boys believed were taking them on a different path than the Father wanted them to be on. And I was saying this last night with the leaders. I grew up in Africa. My parents are missionaries in Malawi, Africa, so that's where I grew up. And the Africans have a saying that there's a ditch on the right and there's a ditch on the left, and it doesn't matter which ditch you fall in, you're in a ditch. And both of them are bad. And so we're going to look at these two lies, and we're going to look at what your Father in heaven would say to you this morning if you're functioning in one of these lies or leaning towards one of these lies. And the challenge of a lie is that when we hear it, we go, no, that's the truth. That's the problem with a lie, is nobody wants to ever believe a lie. It sounds like it's true. And so the challenge is you have to be sort of jolted out of those things. And so we're going to have prayer ministry at the end, and I'm going to invite you to be bold today. And because we're looking at two lies, I'm going to get you to choose which one is more like you. So everyone's going to be prayed for this morning, whether you like it or not. If that's all right. Now, if you really don't like it, there'll be a time when it's time to just run and get out of here as quick as you can. But it's going to be a safe place as well. Like, so we're not going to be asking you questions and that kind of stuff. It's just going to be a time for God to come and speak into your life and to change some of the identities that you have for yourself. So Luke chapter 11 is the story, and I think we're going to have it on the screen. So if you didn't bring your Bible, do we have ready to go starting at verse 11? Woohoo! How about we read this together? That'd be all right? So let's read the Word of God together. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. Okay, we'll stop right there. English majors. Anyone took English in school? Like, not just learning English, but English major. Alrighty. Who's this story about? From sentence structure. A man. Uh-huh. Most people believe this is about the prodigal sons. But the story is about a man, and the adjective is he had two sons. Let's keep going. Let's read it together. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. And so he divided the property between them. Otherwise, what he's saying to his dad is, Dad, I wish you were dead. Is that a good thing to say to your dad? Not so much, especially if you're the dad. Next verse. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. Next slide. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. Next slide. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Are Jewish boys supposed to be hanging around pigs? No. So he is desperate. There's no job for him. Everything is a disaster. All that he got from his dad, and it would appear, just to back up, we're going to talk about this later, but in the Jewish tradition, if you had two boys, the oldest son gets two-thirds. He gets an extra portion, the oldest son. So if there's four kids, the older guy gets two portions. So whatever the number of kids are, the oldest son gets two. How many oldest sons do we have here? We like that rule. I'm an oldest son. It's a very good rule. So it appears that the young guy gets cash and the older guy gets the farm, is how it goes. So all the cash is gone, right? Nothing. Not only is it bad, but it's real bad because now there's a famine. It's not only that, but there's a recession and there's no jobs. Right? He's at the bottom of the bottom. He's looking up at dirt, is where this guy is. Keep going. Keep going. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Do you know what a pod is? Pea pod? What's a pea pod? It's the part that you don't eat because you eat the peas that are inside the pod. Unless you're Chinese and you have it in a wok and it's soy sauce on it and actually tastes quite good. But this is the food that the pigs eat. It's the leftovers. This isn't the good part of the peas. This is the non-tasty part. This is the just fiber that's going to get you by. Yep? He's at the bottom. Keep going. When he came to his senses, this is the nice little phrase, when he came to his senses, he's beginning to start to think right. He said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? What's he know about his dad? His dad is generous, maybe rich. He's taking care of the people that are working for him, right? They get a good salary, the hired guys, the guys that are working for his dad. Yep. Who are we talking about when we're talking about the dad? Our Father in heaven, aren't we? Takes care of all of his kids, looks after them well. That's his intention. So this is what he knows about his dad. He's remembering what his dad is like. Yep. These are good thoughts. Keep going. I will set out and go back to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Is that a correct statement? Yes, it is. It would appear he has been involved in all sorts of stuff, and the Bible doesn't tell us what his stuff is. His older brother assumes that he's been sleeping around and paying money for prostitutes and sex and all that kind of stuff. He doesn't say what it is, but he just knows, I've sinned against my dad, I wasted my dad's money, and every sin against another person is also a sin against God. There's no innocent person when there's sins. God gets involved personally. He takes personal offense every time you and I do something, say something, think something that doesn't line up with him. God's offended every single time. And we're thinking, it's just between me and them. No, no, no. There's a bigger person that just got, what? You did that? Let's keep going. I'm going to set out. And then he's going to say, I will set out, Father, I've sinned against you. And then he says this, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. Now, we just want to stop right here for a second. This is the lie. What's the lie in this verse? That he's not a son anymore, and he's not worthy. Is he a son? Will he always be a son? Does it matter what he's done? No. But Satan, when he comes to his senses and he's beginning to think this through, and it's like, oh my goodness, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, and he's trying to process. And what happens when you and I are trying to process, as God speaks into us, Satan tries to get in there and he gets in there. And a whole bunch of times, we don't know when he's got in there, but he's gotten in there. And this young guy feels that what has happened to him and what he has done has ruined him for life, and he's no longer worthy to become a son, and he wants to devalue himself and go one step down and be hired by his dad to go back and work in the farm and the family business. He's no longer can go back as a son because he's not worthy. He's got shame issues, correct? Stuff's happened to him. And friends, stuff happens to every single one of us. And it doesn't matter if you had a rich dad or a poor dad or no dad. Every one of us in this room has had stuff happen to us, and we've done stuff. And so if Steve Long was to start telling you some of the negative things that I've done in my life, you'd be looking at me and saying, so how did you qualify to be a pastor? Well, that's called grace, isn't it? That's called God stepping in and saying, actually, I can use that as a base to build on. Because there's a whole bunch of people that never get to the place where they do the first statement to say, God, I've sinned. That's where it really starts, isn't it? Where we get to the place where we go, God, all sorts of stuff has happened, and a whole bunch of it has been me. A whole bunch of it has been my fault, and I'm just going to say it out there. Daddy, I am so sorry that I took this road. I made these choices. Yes, things happened, but I made choices. And a whole bunch of you in this room have been slimed by people. You've been beat up, you've been used and abused, and sadly, some of us in this room have been the abusers. Yeah? Some of us have been on both sides of that. Some have just been on one side. My mother-in-law is an amazingly sweet lady. She's just had her birthday 2 days ago, May 2nd, and she turned 75, Sandra? 77 is what she just turned. French-Canadian lady, and she's the oldest girl in her family, second oldest child in the family of 11, Sandra? 10. I'll get it right. We've only been married for 32 years. I was one, two numbers off. It was real close. Real close. Anyways, Sandra's mom, when she's in grade school, is beginning to be pulled out of school by her parents in Northern Ontario, French-Canadian community, to look after the new babies that are being born. And they're very poor. And so they, mom has to be working on the farm, dad has to be working in the bush to be able to meet ends, make ends meet. And so Sandra's mom doesn't have the best education because she missed school. Plus, when she's starting to be in her early teen years, her dad and her brothers now begin to sexually abuse her. And when she was 16, Sandra, she ran away from home. 16, 17. She went to one of her uncles, who's a pastor, figured out what was going on and said, you're coming, you're living with us. And so Sandra's mom moves from rural Northern Ontario, small little communities, all this kind of baggage, not a great education, and she moves to Toronto, which is the big city. So Toronto's the fourth biggest city in North America. Mexico City, Los Angeles, New York, Toronto is how the numbers go. And when you see yourself and come from a history like that, when you come into a city where everything's fast and everyone's smart and all those kind of things, that's what you think. It's really hard. And Sandra's mom, God bless her, but for years she's been handicapped by shame, feeling unworthy. And it's not until Sandra's mom and dad, within probably a month of us joining Catch the Fire Church 20 years ago, Sandra's mom and dad, who would never be in a charismatic Pentecostal Word of Faith kind of church if they were paid to, they were good Baptists. They started coming to our church, and Sandra's mom is getting free. And she's well on her way to being in just a marvelous place. Sandra's mom is the most childlike lady I know. Like, she's a great grandma. So our oldest grandson is almost 3 years of age. In June, he'll be three. And Sandra's mom is on the floor playing with the trucks, playing with the bricks. And, like, she sees nothing wrong with her being a three-year-old and just connecting and relating. And it's just amazing what God's able to do. But her background is like this guy here, shame, unworthiness. So what would God say to you if stuff's happened to you? Well, let's keep reading. Next slide, please. So he got up and he went to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Who's watching over you? Uh-huh. Is he looking for you when you don't realize he's looking for you? Uh-huh. Always looking out for you. Your Father in heaven has good hopes. Even when you're in a bad place, your Father in heaven's watching you, going, I'm just waiting for a tiny little turn. All I need is a little turn. All I need is a thought. Got it! And boom, he's in you, in your face. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son. Can you imagine God running to you? Have you had that thought, that that's how much God loves you, that he runs towards you? Like, we're thinking, oh, man, you're not good enough. I got to run to dad. No, God will beat you to the race every single time. And he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. Next one. And the son said to his father, so he's been practicing for 2 weeks as he's walking home, every day practicing what he's going to say. Got that speech nailed. Father, I have sinned, say it with me, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He didn't get to the part, can't treat me like a son anymore, got to hire me now. He didn't get to that. The father goes, excuse me. Keep going. The father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Now, do you know what these three things stand for? Some of you are looking at, well, he's probably got different ideas than my pastor said. And my pastor may be right. He may be right. I don't know. Let's just listen to him. Okay. Thank you for listening to me. So the first thing that he gets is a robe. Anyone know what a Jewish boy, when he gets a robe from his dad, is? Especially if it's got multiple colors, what does that mean? You're the special one. I heard someone say that over here. You're the favorite one. Remember Joseph and his technicolor dream coat? That meant he was the favorite son. So this guy stinks, doesn't he? He smells like pigs. Probably hasn't bathed and showered for a while. And this brand new coat goes over him. In fact, the coat has been waiting for him to get home. Has it not? It's been in the closet waiting for him to get home. And then he is given a ring on his finger. So what does this ring, ladies? Or sorry, what does this ring mean, ladies? It means stay away. That's what it means. It means not just married, but married and stay away. And up until 200 years ago, most people didn't have wedding rings. Are you aware of that? This is just sort of jewelry marketing. Get you to buy more bling, more stuff. Up until a couple hundred years ago, a ring stood for what family you were in. And you had signet rings, family rings. And the wealthier you were, you had little insignias stamped on your ring, a letter, like they do with cows in Texas, where they brand the cows. So if the cows get all mixed up and hop the fences, they've got the little brand on there, the little tattoo. What do you call those things? Brands? Okay. They've got those signs, the brand on there, so that everyone knows, oh, that belongs over there, that belongs over there. And when this guy's given a ring, that's a credit card. That's go to the market and say, I'd like some of this, some of this, some of this. Okay, do you have any shekels? No. Ah, well, we know your dad. Okay, write it down. He's good for that. Can you imagine giving a son that's just wasted all your money American Express Platinum Unlimited card? How many of you actually have an unlimited credit card? No cap. Your best friend? There's no best friends for you here today. We have a couple guys in our church that are heavy hitters in the finances, and it's like, oh my goodness, like I would like to see what their credit limit for their credit card is. Like we got a vice president from one of the second biggest bank in Canada in our church. We have another guy in our church who's from Argentina, and twice he's turned down to be the president of Scotiabank Mexico, which is one of the biggest banks in Mexico. Scotiabank's a Canadian bank. And these guys, like the cars that they drive, there's another guy. He was the top economist in Canada for 10 years running, guessing stocks going up and down. He could make millions for his company just by putting out a bulletin that says, I think this stock's going to go up, and his company's first in, and when everyone else buys it, it goes up, they sell, they just made their margin. That's what this guy was doing. He has the most expensive Mercedes-Benz you can buy. You sit in it, and as you're driving around the corner, all the seats tilt, and it's like, oh, can we go around a bigger corner? So how's it feel when you're thinking, I don't fit in, and I'm not worthy, and your dad surprises you with a platinum card? Is that confidence? Is that, I don't care what you've done, you're my boy. You're my girl. And then he gets sandals on his feet. And you have to go back to the Old Testament to the story of Ruth and Boaz for this one. Do you remember that story? Here's Boaz, a wealthy guy, and he sees this single lady that her husband's died. She's a widow, no kids. And the story is that this guy begins to fall in love with this girl. The problem is that the system that they had for redeeming the land is that the first person who gets the choice is the closest relative to buy the land and to keep it in the family. And so Boaz goes to the city gate one day, and he finds this guy, and he says, the property is up for sale for the man that died and his two sons that died, and so the widows are there, and it's like, if you want to buy the land, you get first option on it. And the guy goes, yeah, I want to buy it. Okay, well, part of the condition is that you marry the daughter, Ruth, and any kids you have by her go by her first husband's last name, and all reverts back to that boy. And he's going, nope, don't want to do that. Well, I'll step in and I'll do that. Remember that? They didn't sign contracts in those days. They didn't shake hands in those days. They gave a sandal in those days. It's in the Bible. They exchanged sandals. I have no clue why they did that, but that's what they did. So when this boy's given a sandal, what's his daddy saying? You're back in the game. You're back in the game. You're not just working for me, you're senior management. You can go around doing deals for us. Can you imagine the kind of father that this takes to do that for a son who's blown everything? Anyone here blown a few things? A few things, okay. This is how your daddy sees you. It's good, isn't it? Are we worthy in the eyes of God? Are we worthy to step back in and say, God, and turn to God and say, God, if you'll have me, and he goes, what do you mean, if? I will have you. And he runs to us. And this is your father. This is the extreme love that God has for us. Do you know, in the Old Testament, people just didn't get God. Somehow they saw God as a harsh person. And in the Old Testament, the word father is only used to describe God three times. Three times. Do you know how many times Jesus used the word father in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? It's like three shy of 300. That's a little bit of purposeful communication. It's like Jesus is making an over-the-top statement. You missed it. You have misunderstood how amazing my Father in heaven is. He is Father, like good Father, not bad Father, not absent Father, not abusive Father, not silent, passive Father. My daddy is an in-your-face, loving you, smothering you, kissing you until you're going, Daddy, please, like your lips are juicy and just get away from me. For my little grandson, who's almost three, I'm the tickle monster, and I'm the kissing monster. And he just squirms, and he laughs and giggles, and get away, get away, get away. Let go. And that's no. Did you say yes? No, yes. And we just, you know. And I give every excuse to love up on the guy. And he loves it. Loves it. Sandra and I love up on our, they happen to live in our house. We moved to the basement of our house. Americans don't have a basement, do they? Not in Florida, yeah. That's called, an indoor pool, if you did that. I understand that concept. Anyways, we moved to the basement. So our son, we're helping them pay off their debts and all that kind of stuff. So they're living in our house. We have a modest house, but it just has got room for them. And I have to, when we get home from our church office, where our oldest son works as well, and often we're carpooling, I have to stay outside for 2 or 3 minutes just so that dad gets dad time. Otherwise, it's going to be grandpa time because I'm the favorite. That's just the way it goes, isn't it? And God's like that. Well, there's two boys. Let's look at the life that the second guy had. Up on the screen again, if you don't mind. So he brings the fatted calf, kills it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Keep going. Meanwhile, for this son of mine was dead and is alive. There we go. Meanwhile. So we're looking at number two now. Everyone read with me. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. Would that be good? What does music and dancing mean? Party. Are parties good? I think most people like parties, don't they? Yeah. Especially if someone else is paying the bill. Yep. All right. So he called one of his servants and he asked him, what's going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. Is this good news or bad news? In most families, this is supposed to be good news, isn't it? In some families, this is not good news. Right? You don't have to put your hands up. But sometimes when a family member comes home, it's like, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. should we get the guns out? And partly in your thinking, it's like, I need to protect myself here. This could be dangerous. This guy, if he gets drunk, we just don't know what he's going to say, what he's going to do. And sometimes we're embarrassed when we have family parties, aren't we? It can be like a, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's better to go to someone else's party where your family sometimes isn't there. Right? It's just you. They know you. They've labeled you in many cases, haven't they? So whatever the thing is, this should be good news. This should be good news. But this brother isn't going to react that way. Next slide. The older brother became, what's the word? Angry. And he refused to go to the party. So his dad has to go and find him as well. This daddy's a bit busy dad, isn't he? Twice he's going after boys in one day. Yeah? His father went out and he pleads with him, but he answered his father, I want you to say these words with me. Look. No, say it with attitude. Look. All these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. Okay, back the slide up if you don't mind. Back up one. What's the lie? Been slaving. So the first guy doesn't think that he's worthy enough to be a son. He's going to be hired. He's going to be a servant. Servants get paid, don't they? Rich homes around here, they have a few servants, right? Those people get paid. Yep. Maybe not good salaries, but at least they're getting something. Yep. If you are slaving, do you get a salary if you're a slave? Do you get rights? You get 8 hours plus vacations plus pension? You get none of that. This guy somehow has been convinced by Satan that he's a slave. How does that happen? How does it happen that you misunderstand your father, this loving father? You misunderstand God so much that you think the only way for my dad to love me is for me to work, 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 work harder than everyone else, longer than everyone else, put up with all this stuff, and that's what will please my father in heaven. Does that sound like the God that you know? Is God into parties, or is he into work, 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 work? He's into parties, is he not? He's into fun. Like, guys, when I came in here this morning, your setup team, your first people that were here, they're all smiling. And I understand that they were here Friday night, 45 minutes, setting everything up. Looks good, doesn't it, when you come in? Spotless. I went into the guy's room. I spilled a little bit of orange juice on my hands. Sorry, where's my driver? Oh, he's with the kids, Felipe. I spilled a little bit of his Portuguese bakery orange juice on my hands. So I went into the men's room. Two of the girls are in there cleaning after the cleaners have been in and just making sure that it smells nice and looks nice. And I understand the smell nice part of a guy's bathroom. I understand that. But they're doing more than is needed just to make a good atmosphere so that when people come, they go, hey, this is cool. This is fun. This is professional. This is nice. And the first feeling that Sandra and I get when we're coming in here is this is a safe place. This is a place where people can meet God, right? And your first impressions, hopefully, that if you're a newcomer today, is like this is a happening place. The worship's happening. This is a party place. People are happy for each other. They want each other to move forward, right? Yeah? But if you believe lies, everything's wrong. Everything's wrong. And this guy believes that it's all about orders. It's all about obeying. And if it's very possible, because I'm an oldest son. I am number one of six, and I'm this guy right here. My background and my present, I still battle with anger on a regular basis. I'm an angry person. That means stop talking and get ready to pray. I need to talk about being angry, first of all, though. My my default mechanism when things don't go well is for me to get angry. Anyone else like that? I just begin to, on the inside, grit my teeth. On the inside, I begin to go, that lazy bum. I begin to blame other people for what's going on. Anyone else blame other people? How come you guys come to church like me? Isn't this amazing? And somehow I feel that God has these higher than possible standards. And I can begin, even though God is a loving God, I can begin to get into striving and performing and perfection. And because that's not cool, I got to pretend now as well. So you come in. How are you doing? Oh, great. Anyone else pretend? You don't have to put your hands up. Well, Sandra, did you put your hand up for pretending? No, okay. You're just chatting. Okay, so you're not listening. I understand. Okay. Okay, let's look. Go to the next slide, if you don't mind. You back up. The no goat one. The no goat. You never even gave me a young goat. There it is. Did he give him a young goat? The first verse that we looked at, I actually pointed this out. When the father divided his property between them, what did the young guy get? Cash or the farm? What did the old guy get? Uh-huh. He owns all the goats. Does he not? He owns the tractors. He owns the barns. He owns the grass. He owns the farmhouse. He was given everything. How do you get to the place where you've been given everything and you're going, you never even gave me a little goat? Do you know how much a little goat costs? I was in Bangladesh 3 years ago. I've been to Bangladesh a couple times. And I'm up in the north, almost India and Nepal border, that part of Bangladesh. Poor, poor, poor community. And the network of, we have some partners in Harvest Churches in Bangladesh, but there's another network that I work with. It's just an amazing network. It's all these Bangladesh guys, and they're starting like 1,500 churches a year. Just amazing opportunities that are coming. And here we are in this northern community of poor, poor people. Poor people. And we find out for like 6 months, nobody has eaten anything other than vegetables and like rice, basically. There's no chicken, there's no goat, there's no sheep. And because many of them are former Hindus, they won't eat cows. They won't eat beef. Brazilians, I'm sorry, but how can you live that way, Brazilians? No beef. Anyways, my favorite Brazilian word is churrascaria. I understand the concept. Going next month to the World Cup, cha-ching. You know, the pastors were talking about praying this morning, praying things that you know and praying it in. Ron was talking about that, speaking things, declaring things. I was doing that for a year. I will get World Cup tickets. I will get World Cup tickets. I got World Cup tickets. Yay! Woo! Woo! Alrighty, where was I? This guy owns the farm, Bangladesh, that's where I was. We found out that these people had not had a decent meal for a long time. And so the guy who's organizing our trip, he there's like six of us, and he comes to us and he goes, guys, like for $50, we can buy a goat. And there was like 300 pastors and spouses and a few kids there as well. And I'm going like, a goat isn't going to really do it. Like how many goats, you know, to really give them a feast? And it's like, well, probably six. And it's like, okay, I'm in. Put me down. I'll buy all six. And I'm like, well, no. I said it first. I'm doing it. So for $300, we got six goats. It's not a big deal to buy a goat. Not a big deal. $50. And this guy's worried about that when he's been given $1 million farm. Like, how does that happen? That happens because you believe the lies that Satan says in your head. And that's us. That's us. Whole bunch of things that God has for us and has done for us, and somehow we just can't remember it all because we're so believed that it's about working, 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 striving, striving, pretending, pretending, performing, and we just get messed up. You understand this? We get messed up by Satan, and he steals what God has for us. Remember I talked about those two ditches? So we're supposed to be on a journey to the Father. You and I, the big deal is not going to heaven. Remember John chapter 14? In my Father's house, you know, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I am taking you to my Father was the thing. I'm not so much taking you to heaven. I'm taking you to my Father. That's the journey that you and I are on. If you were to come and visit me, and Steve Long, it turns out, is not at the house, and my son gives you a tour of the house, you'd be going, no, I came to see Steve. I really don't care about your house. So heaven is where Father lives. We're going to the Father is our journey. It just happens he lives in a place called heaven. But really, we're going to the Father. That's the journey we're on. And Satan goes, I can get you two ways. I can mess you up on that journey two ways. You can go in this ditch and feel you don't qualify. God can't treat you properly. You're not deserved to be called a daughter or a son because of stuff that's happened to you or you've done to others. Or we can fall into this ditch over here, and it's all about get distracted, and it's all about striving, it's all about performing, it's all about being and pretending and being someone you're not. So we can get you in either one of these ditches, and it's going to keep you off the main road. So today we want to get you back on that road. Would that be all right? So here's what I'd like you to do. You got to choose between which of these two boys are you most like. So girls, I understand that you're not a guy, but I want you to think of shame or performing. Unworthiness, striving. So if you're a little bit more like the younger guy that struggled with shame issues and my history is not good. I don't know that God could love me the way I am. We want to pray for you. And if it's more, okay, that's not the big deal for me. The big deal is I grew up with rules. I grew up with thinking that God has all these standards. And if I break one of those things, I got to really cover up. I got to do everything to pretend. And so if you're in that group, we want to pray for you as well. So there's only two boys. So there's only two prayers this morning. You got to pick one of these. Is that all right? How many figured out which one you're mostly like? All righty. If you're more like the younger son, can I get you to stand up? Shame, unworthiness. If you're more like the younger son, I would like you to stand up. So that means all the people sitting, you're number two boy. Is that right? Okay. So there's only two. Can't sit in the fence. You could stand for both, I guess, but is that all right? Those of you that are seated, look around, and if someone's close to you, just put your hand on their shoulder. Can you do that? Just move around, find someone who's close by. If no one's come, just wave your hand and say, no one's come to me yet. All righty. Here's what I'd like you to do. Those of you that are standing, I'd like you to just close your eyes, and we're going to get your friends, and I'm just going to lead us in some stuff. And those of you that are around this person, I'd like you to just tap into the Holy Spirit for a moment here. And if you're not used to doing this, it may sound like you're making it up. Actually, you're not making it up, because a thought that's going to come is going to be a God thought. I would like, you know how, well, even yesterday, Sandra and I are staying at the Marriott Hotel, not too far away from here, and there's a little strip plaza, a little mall kind of thing there, and there's a Panera Bread. So we had breakfast there yesterday morning, and there's two groups of people that are like 8-10 people sitting outside, and they've all got these little sticky things, Mike, Bob, Sue, like their name, right? You've seen those little labels when you have little business meeting kind of things? Those of you that are standing beside this person, I'd like you to begin to just pull off some of those negative labels that you feel are on them. So just sort of listen to the Holy Spirit. And those of you that are standing, if they say something that you don't think's true, no big deal. They're trying to help you right now. But if they say three things and one of them's right on, that's good. Forget about the two that they missed. Let's just agree that God wants to take labels off of you. So those of you that are with these friends, just start to do that. Say, we pull off rejection off of you right now. We pull off abandonment. We pull off good for nothing off of you. Just say some of those names that you feel may be on them. This is not who God says you are. This is not your identity. You are better than this. You have not been abandoned. You're not at the bottom. You're not no good. You're not a slut. You're not whatever the words are that others have put on you or maybe you've put on yourself. Now, if you're with them, I'd like you to stick some new labels on them. I'd like you just to like slap it on their shoulder and just like actually touch them when you put something on and say, I see this. I see you as beautiful. I see you as really smart. I see you as a power broker. I see you as, and just say some of those things that you see in that person. Can you do that? Give you 30 seconds. Go. Just speak life into them. Tag them. Like put a new label on them. Just say those words into their spirit. Yeah. Full of hope. Capable. Lovely. Worthy of attention. Worth being given gifts. Worth being restored. You've got a story to tell. You're an overcomer. We just say that that's who you are. That's who you are. And those of you with your friend, I'd like you just to put your hand, sort of put it on top of their head. And so we're going to be talking about their mind right now. So those of you standing with one of your friends, the person who stood, the people around them, I'll get it right, put your hand on their head. And we're going to just say, Holy Spirit, would you come now and break off every lie that has come into my friend's head. Every thought that has come that's been of the enemy, that's been a deceiving, it's been a tricking, it has been purposely there to mess with my friend. And we say, no, 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 this lie leaves you right now in the name of Jesus. Every thought that has come to you from Satan that is not from God, we just pull it out right now. Pull it out, pull it out, pull it out. And we take those labels off of you. We speak God into you and say, with God, all things are possible. God's the redeemer. God's the buyer back. That's what the word redeem means. It means that God had you, you went away, and he bought you back. You've been redeemed. You've been sanctified. It's a big fancy word to say that God cares about your future and he's going to get you there. And God made the most one-sided trade in history for you. Most one-sided trade in history. Do you know, I know we're in Florida, and probably I'm a sports person, so I'm going to use a sports analogy. But last year, every team, NFL team, was trying to get Peyton Manning when he was a free agent, right? Considered the best quarterback or one of the best quarterbacks. Every team tried to get the guy. I want you to think about the Miami team. Who would they have traded for Peyton Manning? They would have said, take 5 of them. Take 10 of them. And if he'd come, it would have been an amazing trade. I know what would have happened in Miami. The Miami people would have been jumping up and down, even if 10 guys left. Right? Because we got the best. Your Father in heaven thinks so much of you that he traded Jesus for you. Is that not true? That's true. Jesus took all of your junk, all the stuff that happened to you, it was put on him. It was put on him. All right, you may be seated. Everyone who's more like the older son, I'd like you folks to stand up. We're going to do the same stuff. If you're more like the older son, stand up. We were doing everybody. Did I say it was just girls? Did I just say ladies? You're bad. No, you're not bad, but you made a mistake. Yeah, Do I have a coat? No. Yeah, you can. Well, no, don't take the ring. Alrighty, so these folks are standing, guys and girls, because you're more like the older son. Is that correct? So those of you that are seated, can I get you to just move around? And there's probably more people standing than there are seated. So those of you seated, if you're comfortable with this, go and put your hands on a couple people that are close by you. Just tag up with someone. Go find a couple people, say, I'm going to be with you. And my guess is that some of you standing, there's just not going to be enough folks to come to you, but that's all right. Those of you that stood for this, how about you close your eyes as well? Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come. We welcome you to come right now for all of our friends. And those of you that are standing, I'd like you just to listen. And if there's a friend with you, friend, you're going to do the name tag thing as well. If there's someone that's ministering to you, you just prophesy over them and say, I'm taking off these negative tags off of your life. But if no one came to you, just listen and let the Holy Spirit remind you of some of the words that you feel about yourself. Like this older son, he said, slaving, disobedient. Those were his words that he heard about himself. Not keeping orders. And Father, we just pull off all these negative words off of you, friends, that you're not doing good enough, that you're a failure, that you haven't pleased people. We pull these words off of you. We pull the word disappointment off of you. We pull the word lazy off of you. We pull the word shouldn't have been born off of you. We pull the word you're not going to amount to anything off of you. All those negative lies that have come to strivers, that have come to performers, that have come to those older boys, that older boys, older son syndrome. We take all that negative stuff. And I want you to just see all these tags, all these labels that have been on you, and they're all in the dirt now. They're all in the ground. They're in the mud at your feet. That's not you. That's not how God made you. And if you're ministering to someone, I'd like you to slap some new labels on their chest and just hit their shoulder and say, this is how God sees you. This is how I think God sees you. God sees you as capable. God sees you as a son, as a daughter. God sees you smiling. God sees you full of joy. God sees you making a difference. God sees you being inspired with his God thoughts. God sees you as an obedient person who loves to please him. God sees you as perfect, as perfect. And this is who you are. Satan's been the one that's come and he's been messing with your mind. He's been sliming you. He's been putting you down. And that's not the way your daddy in heaven is. Now, if you're with someone, I want you to put your hand on their head. And if no one's there with you, just put your hand on your own head. Daddy, we're asking that every lie that I have believed, every lie about my destiny, my identity, it goes. Every lie that I've had about God, every lie I've had about God in heaven, it goes. My daddy in heaven is a wonderful daddy. He's a loving father. He's a gracious father. He's a kind father. He's a generous father. He has good thoughts for me. He runs to me when I just even look his way. My Father in heaven is for me, not against me. My Father in heaven is not trying to beat me up. My Father in heaven is not trying to teach me a lesson. My Father in heaven has not abandoned me. My Father in heaven loves me with an everlasting love. An everlasting love. My Father in heaven wants to bless me. This is your daddy. This is your daddy. So Holy Spirit, would you come and just root out all those lies and we just send them to hell where they belong and we choose to have a Father in heaven that knows us, that loves us. We are daughters. We are sons of the King of Kings. Amazing daddy that we have. Okay, friends, sit down. I've got one more story to tell and then one more prayer to pray. Sandra mentioned Carol Arnott. Carol is 70 years of age, and next week, May 9, I think it is her birthday, and she turns 71. Carol, if you've ever seen her, is a very fashion-conscious lady. She just looks sharp. And I need to do a little backstory. When our church in Toronto started 25 years ago, it'll be 26 years ago sometime in May, I think like May 25 or something like that. So when our church started, John and Carol didn't get a salary because that's what happens when you're starting a brand new church. At the beginning, you got to buy lights, you got to buy sound system, you got to rent a venue, and there's no money left for a salary when you're starting a brand new church. And so John and Carol, the first 3 years of the church going in Toronto, lived off of their savings. In fact, they refinanced their mortgage and took money out. So now their house isn't worth what the equity isn't there because they're needing to lean on that to live. And during those years, Carol, even though she loves fashion and likes looking good, she still looked good. But all of the clothes that she bought were secondhand stores. Someone else's clothes. And that's how she lived. Well, there's a Dutch lady that came to our church. Her name is Ineke Blom. And Ineke has a store just outside of Toronto that is high-end ladies' fashion. Like we're talking $500 dresses and up. $1,000, $2,000 tops. That kind of high-end stuff that the wealthy buy. Good quality stuff. And she talked to Carol consistently and said, why don't you come to my shop? I've got some dresses for you. I've got a top for you. I think you'd really look good in this. And Carol kept saying no, 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 because she believed the lie that she wasn't worthy. She wasn't able to be blessed by someone else. Somehow she had to put in her time. This is what a pastor's wife is like. You know, you're just going to live, barely get by. All those kind of things is what Carol was thinking. She tells this story herself. So one day, Ineke decided, okay, enough of Carol with her excuses. I'm going to bypass the excuses. And she phoned Carol's and John's personal assistant, their secretary, and said, can I take the next day that Carol has nobody on the schedule and get her for the day? And she's blocked in. Ineke showed up at Carol's house that day and said, I am your appointment. Get in my car. We're going to my shop. And this lady, Ineke, drove probably 45 minutes to an hour to pick Carol up. And now she's going back to where she lives and where the dress shop is. So Carol's got a little bit of flu-ish, coldish symptoms that day and really didn't want to go. But Ineke says, no, I booked you. You're mine in the car. So they go to the shop. Ineke is a smart lady. She's found out that Carol is size whatever, I don't know, 5'6", something like that. And she's got 30 outfits all on the rack, all her size, all the colors that she's seen Carol wearing, all those kind of things. And she's got these high-end dresses and outfits that are there, 30 of them. And so it's like you're trying them on. And so one by one, Carol puts it on. Puts it on the dressing room, comes out, you know, the mirrors that are there, girls, and it's like, I don't know how you do it, but I've been close by those mirrors with Sandra. Generally, I'm playing a game on my phone. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, just buy something and let's go. That's what I'm thinking in those rooms. Guys, you understand that? It's a high-pressure place, isn't it? And there's no men's magazines. If they had widescreen TVs there and sports, I'd be happy to say, yeah, try another couple. Yeah, yeah, keep going. But somehow these ladies' stores haven't got the marketing right for the guys. Anyways, it is a good word. It's my pet peeve. I say it every time I go into a shop. Anyways, after trying on dress after dress after dress, Carol begins to look at the tags. And she's going, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'd never pay that. I can't. And she's thinking, okay. And she knows that Ineke's going to say, you know, you pick. And so she's keeping track of which ones are the cheap ones. Like 500 is the cheapest so far kind of thing. And so there's 30 of them. They're taking hours to try them on. She's got accessories. She's got handbags. She's got stuff. I don't know what the words are, stuff. And so at the very end, Carol looks at them all. There's the rack, 30 outfits. And Carol says, that one, please. And Ineke goes, there's a mistake. They're all yours. So how are you feeling, girls? How many guys or girls right now are feeling some emotions? What's the emotion that you're feeling? Excitement, hope, what else? Overwhelmed, rich, what are the other words you're feeling? Just tell me. Loved, relieved, sorry, blessed, favored. Uh-huh. Ladies, if 30 outfits will do that for you, what will your Father in heaven do for you? Yep. That's how your daddy feels about you. So I've already mentioned about Peyton Manning and how lopsided that trade was. Or it would have been if he'd come to Miami. He went to Denver instead, didn't he? And do you remember that Denver's having parades? Like they did everything they could to get the guy to come, and now they're celebrating. They won. And as it turns out, he was a good choice because they went to the Super Bowl, ended up losing the Super Bowl, but they got there. Right? And it's like such a one-sided trade if it had been, you know, one guy from the Miami team that's traded for him. Two, three, five guys would have been a good deal. 10 guys would have been a good deal, wouldn't it? And this is how God, your Father, sees you and me. Just, this is not a one-sided deal in God's mind. I want you to, anyone play soccer? Anyone play baseball? Anyone play tennis, any of those kind of sports? So let's pick on baseball. So who's the best baseball player? Well, Miami Marlins don't really have it. Sorry. Basketball. Okay, basketball. Basketball. There we go. So you got to be praying for the Raptors tonight, folks. It's either Raplin or Brooklyn coming, and I'm wanting it to be the Toronto Raptors playing you guys. Okay, so LeBron James. How many of you played? How many guys played basketball in school? Like even public school? You know what a basketball is. Okay. Girls? How many play basketball girls in public school? Okay. All that kind of stuff. So let me pick on Ron's wife, Ron's girlfriend, fiance. What's her name? Courtney. Alrighty. I phone Courtney up. I'm the general manager for the Miami Heat. What's his name? Pat Riley. I'm Pat Riley. Courtney, I hear a good ball player. Yes, I am. We'd like to have you come on our team, and the team that you're on, we're going to ship LeBron to them, and you come and play for us. You're starting tonight. So let's say that Courtney's playing for Florida something, 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 something state. Like, I figured out the longer the school name, the lower it is, right? That's just the way how it goes. Northwest, Southwest, maybe Central, Tech, A&M, College, University, you know, all that kind of stuff. So her coach gets the phone call from Pat Riley. We're trading Courtney for LeBron. Are you in? And they go, yes. And it just doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense. How does Courtney play in her first game for the Miami Heat? She's going to play her best game ever. Someone sees her like no one's ever seen her before. She's rising above her game, even if she's got no game. She's got game today. She's got swagger when she's introduced. I am quite sure that LeBron is the last guy introduced at the Miami games. And he gets that white chalk and poof, and you know, all that kind of stuff. I understand it. And so everyone's waiting, and he's the key guy, right? And starting at center, 5'3", 5'5", from what high school? From Atlantic High School, Courtney. And everyone goes, okay, clap, clap, clap. Right? And everyone's looking, Pat Riley, what were you thinking? Right? But that's not how your daddy sees you. You're worth a trade. You're worth an even-up trade for Jesus. Have you thought about that? Do you know, a whole bunch of you have got to the place where you've already agreed to be traded. How many of you said yes to letting Jesus come and be with you and you trading your life for his life? How many of you done that? But there's probably some folks here this morning that haven't signed up for that trade yet. And let me just tell you about this trade. Bible says that you and I are full of sin. Full of it. And sin is one of these words that Canadian culture, people don't like the word sin. Like, don't you tell me that I'm doing something wrong. And, you know, we can have lists of things that are right, wrong, and all that kind of stuff, but nobody wants to be told that they're doing anything wrong. Even if they just murdered someone, they blame other people, you know, circumstances. My mom didn't breastfeed me. I had a bottle. It's like, what? You just killed someone, right? And somehow nobody likes the word sin. But the word sin is a real word, whether we like it or not. It's a God word. And in the middle of sin is the most dangerous letter in the alphabet, and that's I, me. And the biggest condemning sin is not what you say, it's not what you do, it's not what you think. It sort of is a thought. It's you, and if you think I'm good enough the way I am, that will keep you out of heaven. That one thought says, I'm good. So if I'm good, I don't need Jesus, right? You have to be at a place where you acknowledge that you're a sinner in order to be saved, is the Bible word. And the reality is the Bible says that before we come to know Jesus, we're actually, the Bible says, we're enemies with God. Like, that's how God looks at us, enemies. He wants us on his team, as it were. And we're going, no, I'm in it for me. It's my rules, my way. It's Frank Sinatra, isn't it? I did it my way. Terrible song. Like a great song, but a terrible song. That song won't get you to heaven. You have to humble yourself and acknowledge that you need a Savior. And that Savior was Jesus. And friends, Jesus didn't die on a cross and go through the most horrific death known at that time, which was to be crucified. Not only that, but history tells us that people were not beaten or crucified, crucified. It was one or the other, because either way, you're going to die. The Romans would beat you to death, and they'd just sort of leave you lingering. Or they would crucify you, and if they crucified you, you're going to die 3-4 days in. You're going to die of asphyxiation. Is that the right word? Asphyxiation. Sorry. That's a Canadian way to say it. You're going to drown on a cross is how you're going to die. You can't breathe anymore. All the fluids are just, you can't breathe. There's no strength to be able to push up on a cross to be able to breathe. Either way, it's the most dreadful way to die, to be beaten to death or to die in a tree. And God didn't send Jesus to do that just for making good movies. Did he? He did that because someone had to pay a penalty. Someone has to pay a price. And it can be me that pays that price by sticking with my theories, my ideas. I'm good enough the way I am. I will pay the price if that's the way I think. If my life ends and I've not connected with Jesus, I pay the price. And the Bible says that there's two parts of eternity. There's heaven and there's hell. I call them smoking and non-smoking. I'm choosing the non-smoking section for eternity. And the way that I deal with my sin is I have to humble myself and say, I need a Savior. And the problem is that Pastor Carl, even though he's a nice guy, he can't substitute himself for me. He's got his own issues. So he can't stand in the gap and say, oh, you know what, I'll look after Steve's sins. Because God says, how can you do that? You got your own stuff. So we needed someone who had no sin to become sin for us, is what the Bible says. And that's Jesus. And so he willingly, when God was thinking about you, eternity past, sorry, past that way, isn't it? Future that's way. In eternity past, as God was thinking about you, Jesus stood up and said, I'll trade for them. And God goes, sounds good. I love that person. I want that person in my family. I want them in my team. I want to live with them forever. I want them to live with me forever. And Jesus was willing to do that deal. And if you're here this morning, and maybe you never thought about these kind of things, I hope you're thinking about it right now. Because I've got an offer that's way too good to be true, but it is true. And that is that Jesus said it's possible in a second to go from death to life. In a second. The guy who's beside Jesus on the cross, remember those two guys? And one guy starts to mock Jesus. Hey, we're going to die anyways. We might as well just get our last shots in, right? because the crowd's against Jesus. So I'm going to join the crowd and pick on him, mock him. Yeah? That's the easy thing, isn't it? And when everyone's spitting at Jesus and doing all that stuff, another guy in the cross, he goes, "Would you remember me when you get to heaven?" And Jesus said, "You're with me." Just the simple thing of humbling himself. And there's no magic words. It's just a heart thing that says, "I get it. I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. And if I humble myself and say, Jesus, would you come and would you pay my penalty so that I can go free?" The Bible says that we get a two-for-one deal. Jesus comes and forgives us. We're given eternity. And the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us forever. The Spirit of Jesus comes. And it's like God in us, with us, helping us. It's like, who'd say no? Well, people who think that they're okay the way they are would say no. And if you're here today, you probably didn't think, or you're probably in the place where you're not holding on to the no. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come. But if you came this morning and you're not sure that you're a follower of Jesus, it probably means you're open to that idea. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come with your friend today. Right? You've been tossing it around. And if it makes sense today and you're ready to give your life to Jesus, I'd like us to do that. Would that be all right? I'd like everyone to stand with me. I'm going to get everyone to say a prayer with me. Those of you that are already followers of Jesus, I want you to say this prayer out loud. Those of you that are giving your life to Jesus, I'd like you to just pray along with me. And I'm going to take you through my ABCs. How many heard of Drake? Do you know he's from Toronto? Do you know that I had an opportunity, one of the guys in our church was a professional football player, and he passed away. And I got to do his funeral, and Drake was there. Uh-huh. And Drake stood just like you were standing. Now, I don't know if he gave his life to Jesus, but like maybe 150, 200 people at the funeral, celebrities, famous people are there because Bruce was a famous guy. He had famous friends. And I took everyone through the ABCs, and I just said, pray this quietly, and they prayed it out loud. And I don't know who was connecting with Jesus that day, but it was just really, really cool to hear 30, 40 people out loud, including Muslims, including, you know, all sorts of people. It was amazing. So here's the prayer. I'd like you just to close your eyes right now. I'd like you to close your eyes. It's the ABCs. It's my version of what it means. And first of all, it's the word admit. Say the word admit. I admit that I need Jesus. I have sinned. Now, not out loud, but I want you to tell Jesus five things that you know that you've done that are on his sin list. Pornography, stealing, sexual abuse, whatever those things are. Some big things, some small things. Any one of those separates you from God. I admit. B. So say the word B is believe. And the Bible says, let me just talk to you. The Bible says that we need to believe that Jesus died and was rose again. Two things. If we don't believe that he died, it's like he's not different than you and me. And if he rose from the dead, well, that's a big one. That means that God accepted that trade and that all of my stuff was just washed away. That's what the resurrection means, is that it's true. And if Jesus rose from the dead, which the Bible tells us happened and history tells us that it happened, secular history books tell us that Jesus rose from the dead. So if that happened, it means that if I say the I admit part and that I invite Jesus, that it's true. So believe is a big deal. So how about you say this with me? I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead For me. For me. And the last part is C, and it's choose. Say this with me. I choose Jesus. I choose to be traded. To be on his team. To go to heaven with him. I choose the Holy Spirit to live in me every day from here on in. Amen. All right, heads up. Hey, woo. So, this is the man up part. This is the lady up part. But if you're in this room, if you've never said something like that, and maybe you did years ago, and it's like you've done your own thing, and you need to just reconnect, and that's what you were doing today, can I get you to put your hand up? Just hold it up real high. Where are you, friends? Good. I see a few people's hands up. This is cool. This is very good. At our church, if you come to the front, we give you $50. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. What do you do, Carl? Do you give them cash gifts? No. Never. For those of you that put your hand up, do you mind just coming to the front, Sandra, and I just want to pray for you and just bless you? This is what we do at our church. Yeah, come on up. Good. I saw a couple other hands. There's like three or four people. Good. Woohoo! Come on over here. Bless you, girl. Well done. Church, can we stretch our hands towards these guys? Can I get you to turn around so people see your smiling faces? Look at these girls. Woohoo! So, girls that came to the front, I'm just going to pretend this is our church because it sort of is. We're in the same, like we're cousins. We're brothers and sisters. Canadian cousin, a little bit more whiter, but that's all right. Because of the snow, not the culture. Right? We got a mixed up church, but anyways. We just speak blessing over people. A blessing is a God thought that God is obligated to do. And so those of you in the seats, I'd just like you to say five blessing words out loud for these people. Just start now. Finances, health, what else? Good relationships, great family. So, Father, we're asking for these girls right now that the Holy Spirit would come. And we ask for the Holy Spirit to come and fill you inside out and for you to know that God is with you, that God has accepted you, that he's in you right now. And for all these girls, we're asking for dreams to happen tonight. We're asking for God things to happen to you today that just rock your world, that you know, oh my goodness, he's real. He's real. He really is real. We're asking that you get those kind of God things that happen to you. And we bless courage to rise up inside you, to embrace God and all the truth that God is. You have a Father in heaven who is for you and not against you. And he wants to love up on you. So girls, the rule at our church is that if you're giving your life to Jesus, first time reconnecting, is we're not asking you to try to be good. We're asking you to fall in love with Jesus and get to know Jesus. So you get to know Jesus, all the other stuff gets dealt with. So don't go out of here trying, okay, I got to be good. No, just let Jesus make you good. Let Jesus help you be good. So, Daddy, would you come and fill these girls with the Holy Spirit? Pour in your Holy Spirit right now, Daddy. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Friends, it's been real good to be here, but have we got two more minutes for me? That'd be all right. So the last couple nights we've been with your leaders, and one of the things that we've been doing is just getting full of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as you call them. So what we've been doing is, actually there's some verses in the Bible that talk about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the verses that Jesus had was, it's actually in the Old Testament, it's one of the things that David said, is that if you open your mouth, God will fill it. And Jesus said, is anyone thirsty that he'd fill us? Yep. So I'd like you to just tilt your head back a little bit. Eyes open. Tilt your head back. Open your mouth and go like this. Glug, 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 glug. Everyone else is doing it, so you're not looking silly. Glug 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 glug. More of the Holy Spirit. Okay, look at me. Look at me. In John chapter 7, Jesus said, out of your innermost being, that's that your innermost being is right behind your belly button. That's the middle of you. In your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. Put your hand on your own belly button and say, Daddy, I need some rivers right here. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Fill me. Right in my middle, Holy Spirit, come. All the power, all the anointing, all the oomph that I need for this week, Holy Spirit, come. Now, with one of your hands, keep one hand on your belly button, covering that spot, and with the other hand, tap someone else's hand on their belly button and just say, Holy Spirit, come. Stir up those wells for other people, more of the Holy Spirit. Just move around, find a few people. Holy Spirit, come, fill us up. Fill us up, Daddy. Holy Spirit comes. Fills us with the Holy Spirit right now. More. More of the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Be filled. Do you know there's a verse in the book of Ephesians, and it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with what? The Spirit. So the analogy is that it's possible to get so full that actually you're not really yourself anymore. And if you've seen someone who's drunk, if you've been drunk, the alcohol takes over, doesn't it? And now you're a friend to everybody. Hey! Right? And a whole bunch of you are not a friend to everybody. Those very people that, hey, you'd be running from. But when the Holy Spirit's in you, all of a sudden, it's not you, it's God. Right? So tilt your head back. One more drink. Holy Spirit, come. Glug, 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 glug. Daddy, would you fill us up so that it's not us this week? It's not us this week. It's you this week. Daddy, come. Daddy, come. Daddy, come. Okay, church, we're about to, I'll let Carl dismiss you in just a moment. But I understand that one of the things that you do, we do it at our church in Toronto as well. If anyone needs someone to stand with you and just agree with you in prayer, the Bible says two people agreeing and God's in it. May not happen right today, but God's in it. God adds it to his to-do list, his agenda list. And he just says, okay, if two people are taking this serious, I'm taking it real serious. And so if you'd like some people to stand with you for health issues, finance issues, visa issues, relationships, finding a husband, finding a wife, getting pregnant if you're married, whatever you need, the prayer team's going to be up at the front, and Sandra and I are going to be up at the front as well. So if you'd like someone to pray with you and agree with you in just a minute when Carl dismisses, I want you to just make your way up to the front. Would that be all right? So Carl,
amen.
What are you going to say?
Give me 2 minutes. I know it's a very long service. It's been really good. If you would come up with me real quick, he's going to release a word. If you could, just bring the mic if you would. He's going to release a word of healing. He's going to take you through a quick confession, and there's going to be people healed all over the room. I just know this in the name of Jesus. He's not going to have to teach on it. He's going to release a word. He's going to walk you through a one-sentence prayer, and there's going to be people healed all over the room. If you need healing in your body, yeah. If you need healing in your body.
This is my hobby.
Yeah, if you need healing in your body, there's pain in your body. Listen, there's things that you've been prayed for 100 times. I want the people who said, I've been prayed for this 100 times. I want you to you don't even have to have faith. I'm telling you right now, raise a hand if you need prayer, if you have any pain in your body, say, I've been prayed for 100.
I'm
talking
disease.
Pains, yeah. Disease, lump. I'm talking hearing problems, vision. You can say, well, I'm getting old. I don't care. I've been prayed for this 100. I don't sleep well, insomnia. I have problems. Women, the problem with your cycle. I just believe he's going to, it's about to be released in the room.
Yeah.
It's about to be released in the room.
In the Old Testament, God says, I am the God who heals you. So this is not me trying to make anything up. This is not Carl trying to, hype the meeting right now. This is God's heart. It's God's heart. He says, I'm the God who heals you.
Jesus.
And the Bible tells us that Jesus, Acts chapter 10, that God anointed Jesus, put the Holy Spirit on him, and he went around doing good and healing all. every person that came to Jesus, asked for a touch, got their healing. Everyone that Jesus went to felt God say, go to that one, go to that one. Everyone he went to. This is God's will. It is God's will. So the little prayer that I say in public, we'll say in church today, and it goes like this. Actually, just put your hand wherever the pain is, wherever the sickness, disease is. So I'm challenged. I'm battling with high blood pressure right now, just trying to go through some stuff. Say this with me. My healing belongs to me.
Hey!
Because of what Jesus has done. I receive my healing. Now.
Now.
Now do nothing. Just linger. Let God come and visit you right now. Holy Spirit, may your anointing come into our bodies. This is one of your daddy's gifts. It's his will. It's his intent. The book of Jude says that he wants us to be in good health, even as our soul prospers. Okay, look at me. How many of you are feeling stuff happen in your body just as we're doing that? Feeling peace, feeling stuff happening, feeling emotions being stirred, all that kind of stuff. Those of you that had pain symptoms when you came in the building, can you just wiggle, move, check your knees, check your back, move around? If you had lumps and bumps, things that were the issue, do you want to just check those if it's possible? If you got hemorrhoids, we'll wait for another day to do that.
Porfa.
Who's feeling better? Hands up. Hands up. Look, just keep your hands up. Look around, friends. This is amazing. Who's got no pain? Who's got no pain? It's all gone.
Wave two hands at us if you've no pain.
What happened with you?
Stephanie, what happened?
What happened? Knee usually hurts. Okay. Just run over here. Who else put their hand up? The lady at the back over here that's hopping. Get this lady up to the front. Come on up.
Come on.
Over here. Yeah, come on up. Who else said there's no pain at all? It's all gone. Yeah, come on up, sir. So you got in your knees?
Yeah, on the back side of my knee, it usually hurts. And when I walk, sometimes it'll start making these cracking noises. And as I was praying, it just went away.
It just went?
It's gone, yeah.
Yay. What about you, sir?
Same here. Knee problems as well.
Knee problems? Okay. Yep. How long have you had them knee problems?
Going on what? Probably 5 months now.
5 months. Yeah. So this is a big deal.
Yeah.
So do a squat again. Anything?
Come on!
Yep.
Hi, I had torn my ACL like over a year ago, and so it hurts like all the time. And when I prayed about it, I felt peaceful, and I felt that my knee, like I can do the same.
Come on, do it! Come on!
Like an ACL for an athlete takes about 2-3 weeks, doesn't it? If you're a pitcher, you're a baseball player, it
takes forever.
It takes a long time for that. And God just does it. Yeah. Like, how does that happen? No pills.
Hallelujah.
This is the power of our daddy. Yeah. And who's on the inside? You got the anointing with you. Come on up. So what happened with you?
I've always had shoulder pain on my left shoulder because I'm a lefty and that's what I use to work. And I don't feel anything. Yes.
All gone. Woo-hoo! Diane. High five. Woo-hoo! Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah, we're going to walk this girl around the room. She's feeling better. Good. Should we just push in one little bit further?
Listen, teardown team, in a moment, we're going to work very quickly.
Sorry, it's after one, isn't it?
Yeah, but people are going to be healed, and that's more important. We can work quickly to get people healed,
We can get everyone to volunteer.
No, they do. Yeah, they do.
All right.
To work quicker.
Sorry, I forgot about 1 o'clock.
Don't. But people are going to get healed. Are you okay with that?
Okay.
We got time for healings, right?
Hands up if you're not quite there yet. If there's still some lingering stuff. Keep your hand up.
Keep your hand up.
Everyone else, go find someone, put your hand on them, and say, we're going to say this prayer over them once more. Keep your hand up until someone comes. Some of you need to look backwards. There's a couple people at the back. As soon as someone comes, put your hand down.
We need people in the back left. We need people.
There's a lady over here. Someone goes to her.
The back right over there?
Good.
Oh, we go.
All right. Everyone got someone? So those of you that are with your friend, say this for your friend. Your healing belongs to you. because of what Jesus has done.
Go ahead.
Receive your healing now.
Hey!
In Jesus' name. Okay, let's just be quiet. Let the Holy Spirit do his job. We did our job. Let him do his job now. Holy Spirit, come. I like to give silence and time for the Holy Spirit where there's, you know, we're not working it, we're not hyping it, so that we know God's in the room. There's a place to be loud and, you know, all that kind of stuff. There's big parties in heaven. We just talked about that. But I like the real stuff for people to know it's real. It's not the meeting. It's not the speaker. It's God. So Holy Spirit, come. All righty. If you were with a friend, just ask them what's going on right now. What are you feeling? What are you sensing? What's happening?
Your eyes are cold? Keep it going. That's how my knee felt when I got healed.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Hey!
Okay, Pastor, where are we going to do the praying then if we're doing...
We'll tear down around people. That's not a problem. We're going to pray right here. Right here. People will tear down
around. So if you'd like someone to pray for you, up to the front. Otherwise... all hands on deck for teardown.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Life group leaders, if you'll come to the front. And if you need people to, what I really feel like God is going to do, and look, if we could just do one more general prayer. We're going to say this one more time, but I just believe God's going to break some generational stuff that you've been dealing with. And I believe God is going to heal because of what Jesus did on the cross. We're going to say it real quick, and then we're going to tear down. Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay. Can you lead them in that prayer just one time?
Yep. Well, we can tear down quick.
Yeah. So speaking of generational things like heart disease, kidneys, there's all sorts of different things that we seem to inherit from our ancestors, don't we? John chapter 9, Jesus and his 12 buddies, they're walking into Jerusalem, and they saw a man blind from birth. And do you remember what the disciples said? Who sinned, this guy or his parents? So why would they say that? Why would they ask that question? It's probable that Jesus had been talking to them about what are the root causes? Where does sickness come from? Where does disease come? And he's probably been teaching them, and so they go, okay, hey, let's us figure this one out. Is it this or is it this? Remember that? So it's in the Bible, the fact that things pass down from generation to generation. In fact, they're called curses. And in the Old Testament, there's going to be 1,000 verses that talk about curses. Sandra and I in our Bible reading right now, we're going through the book of Kings. And it's like when this king dies, he was just like his daddy. He was bad. This guy died, he was just like his mom. Good. And it's just like what happened, it just kept going cycle after cycle, generation after generation. Bankruptcies happen, all these different kind of things. Alcoholism just happens cycle after cycle. It's called the curse. So, Father, we're asking that you would come and sever every curse.
Yeah, and I believe some people are going to have generational poverty broken. He's going to release you to be generous people. That's just what I'm feeling. Poverty is going to be broken. You're going to be released to be generous people.
Amen. So let's say this prayer about curses. My healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. I receive my healing. I receive freedom from curses right now. Right now. Now just let's linger for 10 seconds. Let the Holy Spirit come do his job. Ooh. So Holy Spirit, break every ungodly spirit soul tie and connection. May the Holy Spirit just go down the generations, 3-4 generations. Bible says that sexual sins last 10 generations. We're inheriting negatives from 1,000 people. Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would just bust those things right there. Just like when Jesus died on the cross, that temple, that big, thick curtain was just ripped. No hands, no machines, just God did it. And it was a statement. Everything that couldn't be broken before, it's free. And all of a sudden, people were able to go right into the presence and see into the presence. And Daddy, we say, that's your gift to us. Stuff that our ancestors didn't get, our ancestors didn't see, we get to see it. It's a new day. And Daddy, we welcome freedom. Every generational thing over us. Separate all those connections, all those chains in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.
Amen. Can you honor the man of God who just shared the word with us?